This is the fifth sermon, I think the fifth one in this series on heaven, and next week will be our last one. And some of you have been waiting for this sermon today. What will we do in heaven? Maybe you are a detail-loving person, or you know someone who is a detail-loving person. You want to know what was done and what is coming up. You want full details. There's some general characteristics of men and women that men are usually not so detailed and women are more detailed. So many husbands have probably gone out with friends and came home and your wife has asked you, what did you do with your friends? And you said, well, not much. We just hung out. And then she asked, well, what did you eat? What did you talk about? Details. Lots of details. And you realize that there was actually an awful lot of stuff that you did on the night out with your friends. Many people want to know lots of details about heaven, like what are we going to be doing there? But God, through the Bible, only lets us know some things. It's limited. And for some, that's just not enough. And so we get books and movies made of people claiming to have died, gone to heaven, and come back. And those stories usually go way beyond the Bible and are presented as though God has given them direct revelation, as though they are a prophet or an apostle today, receiving God's word today. Which, if that were the case, their whole heaven experience should be added at the end of the Bible, right? Because their words would be on par with Scripture. But they're not. Because what's probably happening for many of these people is they have an active imagination with poor discernment. God might be blessing them with some kind of a dream about paradise, but not an actual glimpse into heaven. A great discerning rule for Christians is, and this is so important today, I think more than any other time with the media that we have, is stick with what Scripture actually says. Examine it and discern it with Christians in the church today and who have gone before us over the last 2,000 years. So do I believe that people's stories of going to heaven? No, I don't. I don't believe any of those books. I go to the Scriptures to see what they say. Anyway, that's a little sidetrack there. Sorry about that. But today we will look at some of the things the Bible says about what we will do in heaven. So let's pray. Father, we want to be people that go to Scripture to know what you say to us, not what's the latest on the bestsellers list. Father, help us to be people of your word. And this morning, please, Lord, draw us into your truth and bring great joy in what you have revealed to us in your word. Come, glorify yourself, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. It's important to mention again that heaven is a conscious state of being. Jesus saved Edgar, and it will be Edgar that spends eternity with Jesus in heaven. I won't be in some sleep mode or some state of nothingness, which we will see from Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 to 9, this is what it says. We are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. So whether here on earth or in heaven with the Lord, the Apostle Paul's aim is to please the Lord. The aim is the same. Because the person is the same person, whether on earth or heaven, the same yet totally released from sin. It's Edgar here, and it'll be Edgar there. In Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19, the story of the rich man who went to hell and Lazarus who went to heaven, Jesus indicates that the rich man was the same man that he was while on earth. In Philippians 1, verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." That whole Philippians 1 section is Paul looking forward to being with Christ in heaven, implying that Paul will be Paul in heaven, not a mindless robot, not Paul wiped of all his characteristics and all of his memory. So be assured that you will be in heaven, the complete sanctified you will be in heaven. And what will we be doing in heaven? We will be with God. Philippians 1 verse 23, again, the Apostle Paul says that in heaven he will be with Christ, with him. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God," face to face with the Lord. Revelation 22 verse 4, "We will see his face and his name will be on our foreheads." Genesis 3 verse 8 says of Adam and Eve that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So there in the garden, it was like God was just hanging out, walking around, accessible to Adam and to Eve. In Revelation 21, verse 3 to 4, what Peter read for us, it sounds like the same thing. "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." We will be hanging out with God, always hanging out together. We will be thrilled and consumed by the presence of God with him and his amazing glory. That will be a great unhindered relationship. In Isaiah 65 verse 24, God says this about us: "Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." We will be with God face to face, hanging out together, and he is super attentive to us, paying major attention to us. That's what we will be doing in heaven. What are you going to do tonight? Oh, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. What are you going to do for eternity? I'm going to go hang out with God for eternity. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be the best singer. I'm going to be singing all the time. What? Who cares if you'll be a good singer? You won't. You'll be hanging out with God all the time. What beats that? Singing? No. You will be with God. And while we are with the Lord, we will be worshiping him. Revelation 22 verse 3 is a description of heaven, and it says, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of his Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him." Worship him. Revelation 21 verse 27 says of heaven, "Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." So we take those two passages together and we find that we will be worshiping God without any hindrance or distractions or the power of sin working against us. Sin won't wreck it. Here and now, all of us are still sinning. Many of us show up on Sunday morning and we have so many moments of not even worshiping God here because we're distracted and we're thinking about other stuff. But in heaven, we will have true freedom to worship, centered on and amazed by and in wonder of the Lord. In heaven, we will be with Jesus and worshiping him without sin influencing us, without sin anywhere around us. That's going to be good. And our worship will include work. We can take some hints from Genesis, from the Garden of Eden, on what we will be doing in heaven. And in Genesis 2, verse 15, we see that Adam, he worked. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. God created work, and work is good. The fall, sin, made work hard and burdensome. But work is still good. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath, and people started complaining, and Jesus responded with, "My Father is always working, and so am I." God and Jesus are always working. Isaiah 65 has some figurative and or literal talk going on about heaven, saying how heaven is going to be this way and not this way, that kind of thing. And there we find that we will probably be doing some very ordinary work, like building things and farming. We will be doing some familiar work without the presence and influence of sin, without our work being for nothing. So work was created before sin entered the world. The Lord works, and it sounds like we too will be doing familiar work in heaven. So we'll be working in heaven. And along with work will come rest. But that doesn't mean just some big holiday in the heavenly Caribbean resort or something like that. I go into detail what Sabbath rest and eternal rest is all about in a sermon that I did on January 17th of this year, which you can find on our website. But today, I'll say that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, talks about God's rest, entering his rest, which definitely can mean rest from work. But it's more than that. It's eternal rest in Jesus Christ, a focus on him and enjoying him, being free from burdens, freedom from endless toil and trials, freedom from busyness, freedom from bad motives. God's eternal rest is being fully settled and at peace in Christ forever. You know, that faith that you have in Jesus Christ that brings about this peacefulness and this confidence and this hopefulness, those slivers of restfulness that you have now will be to full measure for eternity in heaven. Rest. Peaceful rest with the Lord. What are you going to be doing in heaven? Resting with the Lord. We will be with him. We will be worshiping him. We'll be working with and for him and at peaceful rest with him. And we will always be learning about God. Always. Psalm 145 verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Unsearchable. God is so amazing and incredible and great that we will never exhaustively know him. We'll never stop getting to know him. There will always be something new. Always. We can have a friend for years and years, and then we find out something about them that we never knew, and we're shocked. I thought I knew him. Well, God is God. He is infinite. We will be exposed to more and more of his greatness for eternity. We will be increasing in knowledge and understanding without end, because there is no end to his greatness. Wow. Or think of it this way, you know, oh, hey, hey, Dixie, can I take you out for lunch? I just want to get to know you. And then I get to know her and ask her to marry me because, well, now I know her, but I don't know her. I don't have enough time to really get to know her. And then there is God. I will have eternity, and I will never exhaustively know the Lord, but always be learning more and more of who He is. In heaven, what will you be doing? You will always be getting to know God better, and it will always be a thrill for you in getting to know Him better. And we will be doing all of that with people. We will be hanging out with people. In Matthew 22, Jesus is saying that God is the God of the living. Those that have died, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are alive in heaven with God. Their name and identity are intact, and we will be with them, with all God's children. God is the God of the living. Not only will we be with people, we will recognize people. And I get this understanding from the resurrected Christ, who was recognized by the apostles, the disciples. So in our resurrected bodies, it's very probable that we too will be remembered and recognized, as well as remembering and recognizing others in heaven. But in the context of what the Bible says about heaven, our friends and family will not be our focus. You will not be consumed with warm feelings about being reunited with family members. You and your family members and your friends will together be focused on the Lord with the rest of God's redeemed people. Together, we will be doing whatever we're doing, the worship and being with the Lord together. And one last one, in heaven. You know what you'll be doing in heaven? You will be overwhelmed with joy. Again, Isaiah 65, talking about heaven. There will be joy and gladness forever. Who will be full of joy and gladness? God's people. In Luke chapter 6, verse 20 to 23, the Beatitudes, we are told that even though there will be major difficulties here on earth, Jesus told us that. You're my kids, you're going to have a hard time on this earth. Even though there's going to be major difficulties here on earth, rejoice. Why? Because heaven will be full of satisfaction and joy and laughing and rewards. If there is so much joy and laughing in heaven, where we are always with God and worshiping God, then why are we so reserved in our joy on a Sunday morning service where we are worshiping God? That word there, laughing, that always gets me. What are you talking about? We're going to be laughing in heaven? Yes, joy in heaven, laughing and enjoying ourselves. Not this kind of get everything tight and just sit there and this is, oh, we're reverent for the Lord. No, it'll be laughing, belly aching, laughing with the Lord in joy. Psalm 16, verse 11 says about God, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So with God, full of joy, completely satisfied, we will be full of pleasure forevermore. Never-ending delight. Delight! Never-ending. You know, it's like in the Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 16, where one holy, godly lover says to her spouse, behold, you are beautiful, my beloved, truly delightful. This whole picture, a delightful spouse, heart, body, emotions, given and received, celebrating and delighting in the giving and receiving. That's just a taste of the never-ending delight there is in heaven with the Lord. And It's not just one way, not just us being delightful and rejoicing and celebrating and laughing in the Lord. It's the other way too. It goes both ways. In Isaiah 65 verse 19, God himself will be rejoicing and glad in us. He will be enjoying us. Did you hear that? Put on the brakes and look up for a second and listen to me again. God himself will be rejoicing and glad in us. He will be enjoying us. The Lord will be enjoying you. God will be enjoying you for eternity. Your heavenly Father will love being with you. With you. You know, we try so hard making a good impression on people to feel important, and we care so much about what other people think of us or what we perceive that they think of us. And yet here we are told that for eternity, forever, the Lord will be enjoying us. The Lord will be enjoying Edgar. What? The infinite God who knows everything and has no limits. So there's no limit to his joy. There's no limit to him bringing himself pleasure. He will be enjoying Edgar for eternity. Oh, that is good. That is so good. What will we do in heaven? I'll tell you what we'll do. We will be crazy, giddy, profoundly rejoicing for eternity, enjoying the Lord and being enjoyed by the Lord. Will we play sports in heaven? Who cares? Who cares? You will be with the Lord in total bliss. Total bliss. We're going to sing a response song together to the Lord. So the band's going to come up and get ready. So let me close with this. That whole question, church, of what are we going to be doing in heaven for eternity? Specifically, I don't know. I don't know. But generally, we will be personally, okay, you and I, we will be with God, worshiping him, working with and for him, resting, total peace, settled, satisfied, resting with the Lord. We will be hanging out with him. We'll be hanging out with him with others that are his children, and we'll be doing all of this in this incredibly deep celebrating joy that we cannot even imagine. That's what we will be doing in heaven. Church, heaven is going to be so good. And if you are found in Jesus Christ, if you have been saved by his life, death, and resurrection, if you have repented and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not in yourself, we've got nothing. I've got nothing that saves me. Not a thing. I am deserving of hell. Jesus Christ has saved me. A gift from God so that no one can boast. If you are found in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you as a guarantee that says that person belongs to the Lord. Heaven is their eternal home with the Lord. May that be so of every single one of us today. Let's pray. Father, heaven is way better than what these books are depicting and these imaginations are going for. Your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that we are found in Christ, that Christ has saved us. Lord, may we look forward to spending eternity with you. And thank you for pouring your grace on us. We love you, Lord. We give thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.